The following is a replay of a live show that aired Wednesday, April 3rd at 5 o'clock p.m. The opinions expressed do not reflect the opinions of the University of Wisconsin-Madison or its Board of Regents. Thank you so much for listening and enjoy. Hello all, welcome to another edition of After Further Review on WSUM 9.7 FM Madison. I'm Vincent Hesswick, back from a one-week hiatus, and no better person to be joined with than my good friend Alex Schuster. I mean, Alex, it was maybe a little bit refreshing having a week off, but it's great to be back here in the studio.
We just let plenty of topics build up. I mean, we had an excellent outline last week plans, but unfortunate events led, and I wasn't able to make the show, so a nice little break over spring break, and now we're right back to talk about all the action that happened while we were gone.
And the real loser is Madison, who for 1 week they were free from our nonsense. But
yeah,
now,
I think they're the real winner from that one.
There you go. Well, as always, we'll start with Rate My Take. We bring our takes to us ahead of time and receive judgment. Alex realizing they need to spin the spinner. Do you want me to just flip something, or you got it? I can hear you frantically typing away here.
A little.
Oh, and now the spinner's going to spin.
Do you want to stall?
Just spin it here, yeah. I guess, well, Alex,
I should compliment you on, it was my birthday over break as well, and Vince got me a wonderful softball shirt, which I now think I have to wear every day for the next month.
Well, you'd smell pretty bad, honestly.
You get to go first,
dude. Awesome, great. So I want to talk about the Brewers. So solid start to the year right now, and this has been a complete culture change for them. The Brewers lost a lot of great players, lost multiple great batters, lost Corbin Burns, their ace, but the most publicized loss has to be Craig Counsell. One thing to leave the Brewers, another thing to leave them for the Cubs. And Counsell projected himself as a cool, calm, cold, calculating, confident, and corporate personality while he was in Milwaukee. As we discussed this fall, never was that personality more evident than when Mark Canha hit a grand slam in the eighth inning, and a robotic, stone-faced Craig Counsell immediately got on the bullpen phone to get the closer ready before the ball even left the yard. That's just the way Counsell did it. And the Brewers kind of matched the personality of their manager. No really big conflicts, no drama, nothing. And I did and still do respect that philosophy quite a bit. After all, the Counsell era was probably the most successful one that the Brewers have had. I mean, they made the playoffs 4 out of 5 straight years, came a game away from making the World Series as a very small market, small payroll kind of team. And that's kind of what they've been doing. They don't have the big flashy rosters. They just kind of get their wins by making the right decisions at the right time, because that's what they're designed to do. From Craig Counsell, they're designed to win games. But I'd argue that from a fan perspective, maybe a holistic perspective, I want to make myself feel really important, that's not what the Brewers are designed to do for me. They're designed to give me a good time, right? And winning is a great way to give me a good time. But on the other hand, the Brewers' style has been a little bizarre over the past couple of seasons, and it's not surprising that their attendance has dropped, or their league attendance ranking has dropped each of the last 4 seasons. Then enter Pat Murphy. He is a complete change of pace for the Brewers. He's much older than Craig Counsell. In fact, he was Craig Counsell's college manager when Craig Counsell was in college. Now he brought him on as a bench coach, and now he runs the show, and he is something else, and he has injected some edge into this team. So here's the highlights of the Brewers season so far. The Brewers have bunted multiple times. They lead the league in steals despite playing 2 fewer games than most teams, and they use relievers multiple innings. This is also the exact opposite of what Counsell does. The Brewers started a benches clearing altercation the first game of the season. The first baseman made a crying gesture and yelled "wah" at an opposing player, then got a 95-mile-an-hour pitch thrown directly at his face, partially because of said wah noise. The Brewers closer also made a shush gesture at the opposing dugout after a game. And mind you, this is the most, maybe up there for the most corporate teams in the league over the past couple seasons. So there are 5 games in the season. They've already had more crazy situations than I'd say the entirety of last season. Will this lead to them winning more games? Well, they're 4-1 right now, but if I'm being honest, the answer is, I don't know. We'll find out. A lot of big losses, but I just say that the Brewers, they've been really successful, but their success has kind of came at the cost of being very boring. So when you've got a guy like Murphy at the helm who gives those crazy quotes, who says crazy stuff, who gets his team fired up, give them that edge, I say that maybe there'll be less wins, but I'm still just excited as I was in years prior to watch this crew take on the rest of the league.
So that's your take. You're still in it for Brewers baseball, and we got a little bit more of
it's more that
Rascal Brewers.
If you want to, that's actually a really great. I'm going to keep that. Actually, I'm going to save that the rest of the season. But to me, it's more just that But they might win less games, but I think that we got to make sure that we don't let the winning be the definer. Because even if the Brewers did bring back all their players and Craig Counsell, their pure mathematical odds of winning the series would be like, what, 5% at best? So I think if you're destined to believe that that 5% is the give all on whether you enjoy watching your team or not, you're probably going to be seeing a lot of disappointment. So there's going to be some crazy stuff happening this year. They have a player who's younger than me who hit his first career home run, Jackson Chourio. That's unbelievable to think about. It's a big deal for me when I even make it to class on time. This kid's already hitting bombs at the major league level. But they're very young, very raw, and they're very wild. But I think it also means it's going to be very fun.
Yeah, I mean, you projected them right outside of the playoffs 2 weeks ago. I'm not the biggest baseball fan, as we've covered a million times. But I don't know, maybe a new manager, a little bit of taunting and stuff like that, that might get me into it. I like that you're still a Brewers fan. I don't really know where to go with the take because it wasn't really
that bold
or anything.
It's another research project.
I'll go another five on this one.
I'll take it.
I like that you're still a fan. I like that you have confidence in the new manager. I think you are a little bit of a Brewers homer, and you always try and favor them a little bit and look more on the bright side. But if you have faith in them, I think that's promising.
Yeah, I talk about quotes, and maybe I should have tried to fit that into the take there, but Pat Murphy is hilarious. We have an older pitcher who like wasn't able to start the season, Wade Miley, and they asked like, why are you holding him out so long? He's like, well, when you're 50, stuff starts to break down. And he also he wasn't supposed to play a player, but he decided to do it anyways. And then he told reporters afterwards, he both told him that he wasn't supposed to play him, which you shouldn't do, and then he said, I forgot, as the reason why he played him. So he's an absolute goofball. The players gifted him a mobility scooter for his birthday because I think he's in his mid-60s, but they're very protagonist. And with that, Alex, go ahead.
I'm going to do my best to give a serious baseball take here. The way to save baseball is to bring back steroids. that was like the prime peak of baseball viewership and showmanship. I mean, you talked about the intrigue of the taunting and everything. I think bring a little bit of roid rage to the mound, to home plate, and see what happens. I mean, it is a statistical sport. It's a fairly simple sport. You throw the ball, you try and hit the ball as far as you can. Why not let them throw and hit the ball as hard and as fast as possible?
Well, here would be my answer, is that there are actually some side effects with steroids. Like, it's true that the MLB, I don't want to say endorse steroid use, but I have a feeling that they knew that it was going on. They're still kind of like, oh, what the heck, our ratings are way up. But this has kind of been an interesting topic with the Olympics, because you know how doping, very prevalent, there's been a series of scandals. The Russians aren't allowed to like be in the Olympics as Russia. They're like the Russian Federation United. I don't even know what the exact title is. But I think the reason why these are all so stringent is that if a player were to hypothetically completely juice themselves up, they would be putting their actual health at risk. So there's already dealing with side effects with the stuff that they do illegally. So if you were to actively encourage it, I think that people would be juicing themselves to the extent where it's almost like when a college kid chugs a bunch of Red Bulls to try and get themselves through the night of getting a paper done. But imagine like if that paper was the difference between you getting millions of dollars or being out of school altogether, because that's what baseball's like for a lot of these players who are on the fringes. So
I think you'd have to put a limit on it and have very specific steroids. I don't know anything about steroids at all, but I think it would be very interesting to see that happen. I'm sure there has to be something that maybe doesn't add like superhuman strength, but also adds like a little boost to an athlete's abilities without totally compromising their health. I think it would be kind of interesting to see.
I think the concept
that
is
would
very
save
funny.
Baseball. It would save baseball.
Oh my
baseball.
God! People have been saying baseball's. There's a quote where there's a player said that the players these days are getting paid too much, don't work as hard as they used to. The game's dying. The fans don't show up. And it was Ty Cobb who said it in 1950, referring to baseball then. So baseball's been supposedly dying for a long time. Maybe its cultural relevance is, but I think that actively allowing players to take steroids is a can of worms that I think would result in some very bad repercussions. So you know what? I'm going to give you a 2 on this one. If it's a joke take, I mean, you got a good laugh out of me. So outside the context of the actual take, I'd give it a 7. But taking it seriously, come on, man.
Well, everyone that talks about baseball, they always go back to talking about that era and all the records that were set. Now a little bit of the conversation is, oh, you got to let these guys in the Hall of Fame or don't let them in the Hall of Fame.
No, that's a real topic.
There's a real discussion there. But nobody disputes that it was very interesting to watch those games while it was happening. So I do think that is an easy solution to save baseball. They've been tinkering with their rules very often the last couple of years. And I mean, maybe head down that avenue a little bit.
Oh, man. Just for the record, I got to put your feet to the fire here. Let's just say MLB next day, steroids, all good. Go ahead, boys, juice up. Would you legitimately be like, oh, yeah.
I would definitely watch a lot more baseball than I do now.
Yeah, it would definitely be something else. It's fun to think about, but just imagine, like, because, you know, you get the old roid rage. Like, imagine, like, that's my hero, that guy right there. It's, can I get your autograph? Don't talk to me, Timmy. Ah.
That would be terrible for the fans, that especially the guy. There would be more, like, malice at the palace. It would, like, you'd have to put, like, those netting all the way around
Nick
the stadium.
Cage, yep. Yeah.
So, that, like, that you don't have fans going or players going out in the into the stands.
Some dystopian future. I mean, if there's infinite universes out there, maybe somewhere out there there's some roid baseball league, but I'm glad it's not in this one. But fun to think about. We'll talk to what's the segment we're calling it?
Badger Sports Update.
I don't know. We'll come up with a better name next week. We're running out of time to make a new one. I promise next week we're going to have a new name for it.
I mean, should we just speed through this one? Men's basketball?
Oh, man. Yeah, it was probably good we didn't have the show last week because that was absolutely devastating. A season ender. I guess I'll ask you, just how cooked are the Badgers with AJ Storr transferring?
I'm so frustrated. The recruiting, I feel like, has been very terrible, especially with how many great players come out of the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And I'm not that tuned into high school basketball recruiting. I know, like, NBA draft, I'll get into all the college athletes then, but I wait until they're in college before I start obsessing over kids. Especially now that you're in college or, like, older than me, I think it is weird to be scouting high school athletes unless it's, like, your paid job.
I feel that. I don't want to get a Jackson Cheerio jersey just because he's younger than I am.
It's weird
being in this phase in our life. I feel like we're pretty busy right now, but there's professional athletes out there who are doing stuff, and they're younger than we are.
Yeah, and I'm starting to get to the range where now, like, what, 2 years from now, almost every player that's drafted will be younger than me or the same age.
You're getting close.
Oh, that's a hard feeling.
Yeah, a little bit of existential crisis as we jump to women's basketball, which gave me an existential crisis. Just a fantastic run in the NIT. Had a 19-point comeback with a minute 10 left against Southern Indiana. They were down 19 points. Came back, won it by 5. Unbelievable game. Destroyed Illinois State. And I'm pretty confident they would have beaten St. Louis yesterday or 2 days ago if it weren't for injuries to both Sarah Williams and Sanaya Copeland near the start of the game. It was as heartbreaking as it gets. You lose the star players, and then the team bounces back. They even took a lead with 79 seconds left, but 3 turnovers in the final 40 seconds, and the season ends. What a season it was, but oh my gosh, an absolute heartbreaker at the Kohl Center.
And after a collapse like that, I have to ask your favorite question. Is it time for a coaching change?
Oh gosh, I can't even make joke roasts at Coach Mo. I said 100 times, but when someone drives 45 minutes to talk to me, who is a complete nobody, at WSUM to an interview with me, I'm not going to have too many mean things to say. But that's how it roll.
Always have a fan in Vince Hesburgh. All right, what about the men's team? Going back to them, do you think it's time? What do you think the expectation
so
for
tough.
Next season should be? But I mean, I think he's already kind of on the hot seat.
Oh, yeah,
After this year. So what does the level of production have to be next season for him to retain his job now?
Got to win a March Madness game.
I think it has to be more than one.
Really?
I feel like you have to like get to the second weekend. I mean, the Badgers, they're not always the best team, but you expect at least one Sweet 16 run every couple of years. Yeah, and we just haven't had one of those in a while.
So. Yeah, I think you're right. I think this might be... Because with the Badgers, what their kind of thing is that they don't get super highly touted players, but they can get the seniors who come in. By the time they're senior, they're very polished. You get those like Frank Kaminsky guys who kind of like Drew Timmy, where they don't work out super well in the pros, but they've got they know how to handle a college game really well. We're gonna have a lot of seniors next year, so
I feel like they said that about this year's team.
Yeah,
as well.
You're right.
It's hard for me to get excited about. I know we'll have a few players leaving in the transfer portal as well, and those were, some pretty key players: AJ Storr, Asijin. Were those the only two that?
I think so. Yeah, okay. But it would have been nice to have Asijin next year. You'd have to think he'd get a lot more playing time. I get it. It's a bummer because he said this year that he's not going to transfer, but obviously stuff changes. And with that,
move on to
a little bit of quiet depression. Yeah, we'll talk about hockey.
Hockey, which another heartbreaker, going to overtime with Quinnipiac. And, I mean, that team is phenomenal. I think it's one of the last teams you'd want to play in the playoffs, especially going to overtime against them. I mean, last season, historically, in the championship game, just one of the fastest goals in overtime, just a beautiful play off the faceoff to go in and score and win a national championship. Not quite as fast against us, but another very strong performance by Quinnipiac. We got lucky to only be down one goal by the end of the first period, then started out very hot in the second period, and it came down to the end after Quinnipiac tied it up 2-2. And going into overtime, I kind of knew what was going to happen there.
Yeah, a lot of momentum from Quinnipiac at the end.
A very strong season, though. I would say we well overperformed.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we were, they say projections quite a bit, but we were projected to be at the bottom of the Big Ten, so to make it all the way here is awesome. Go on.
Just as crazy, I think the Michigan team right now, the run they're on, like they made it all the way to the Big Ten championship game and lost, but then somehow got a bid in to the playoffs and now are in the Frozen Four. So, I mean, just an excellent run for them over the past couple weeks. They're one of my least favorite teams, especially
in college
hockey. So I'm kind of mad about it, but also I'm impressed at the same time.
Well, you know it's impressive when a Wisconsin show is giving credit to Michigan. But, yeah, it's been a fantastic run. Badgers, a bit of a, I don't want to say late season collapse, but, I mean, lost to Ohio State and then this. Do you give Mike Hastings any blame for that, or is it just kind of we're a young team?
A young team.
Okay.
You definitely wouldn't have expected us to – like, if you said we got there at the end of the season and that's what happened, I think you'd be okay with it. The Ohio State is a little less excusable, but I think that's a case of overlooking them multiple times throughout the year, because I think they beat us three different times. Maybe more than that, because I know they swept us right at the end of the year and then in that playoff game, but it was very rough.
Oh, yeah, including that one. Yeah, I think it was like four times they beat us then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, brutal way to end it, but still a lot of success moving forward. Quick touch on women's hockey. Brutal, brutal loss. Lost 1-0. Ohio State beat us the same way that we beat them the year prior. I'd say it just kind of solidifies that Wisconsin and Ohio State are just ahead above everybody else. It's at the point where not only am I predicting that it'll be Wisconsin-Ohio State championship game next season, I think just about everybody is expecting it. So it's almost like if there were a Golden State Warriors in both conferences. That's just how these teams are built.
And the difference being one goal either way, like your goalie just being able to hold up, not let anything the entire time, and that is what wins you a game. Like the difference of just one shot going into the back of the net, bouncing your way for you, it's like completely changing the record books. I mean,
yeah,
very unfortunate. I thought this was a championship team again this year, but
it is.
Not quite there.
Yeah, had the ability, valiant effort from Ava McNaughton in the crease for the Badgers, but one was unfortunately too many for a team that averaged five a game. We'll send it to break. We'll be right back, though, with Laundry List. Don't go anywhere. We'll be I said right back. I never know how to end the breaks. I feel like I need, like, a script. There's no good way to do it.
It's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, now I definitely botched it. We'll be back in a second.
Hey, Jay, what are you doing?
I'm going to walk.
But, Jay, the light is red. What if there's a car?
You know I don't believe in cars. I'm gonna walk.
Jay, please.
I'm doing it.
He really put the L in walk.
Let's not be like our ex-friend Jay. It's well known that Wisconsin ranks 46th in the country for jaywalking-related accidents. And with your participation, we could be 47th.
Here are some tips to help you obey pedestrian traffic laws. Often find yourself restless at a red light? Carry around a fidget toy or a snack. Look left and right, then left again. Repeat as necessary. Hold hands while crossing the street. If still inclined to break the law, ask a friend to restrain you. Remember, you can't walk if you're hit by a car.
Wise words from a wise man. You're listening to After Further Review on WSM 9.7 FM. Madison, I'm Vincent Hesberg. Here with Alex Schuster, we'll dive into Laundry List. Alex, quite a bit to talk about here today, and looks like you found something pretty neat to get us started here.
Well, the first thing I had was just the March Madness, giving a little update on our game. I just wanted to go through that right away, give a congratulations to you, the man, the myth, the legend, Vincent Hesberg. 13 points. You picked Oregon over South Carolina for 5, JMU over Wisconsin, unfortunately, for 7, and then Michigan State over Mississippi State for 1 more point. And I had 3 points total. Colorado over Florida was the only one that I got right. Very unfortunate for me.
Well, it really is a crapshoot. It's not just me saying that, trying to be humble. For a little bit of context, we played a game where you had to pick upsets, and the bigger the upset, the more points you'd get for getting it right. There's not much you can do. That being said, it looks like my crapshoot went a little bit better than yours there, Schuster.
Yeah, the idea was also that we'd end up drafting one of the Cinderella teams or someone that goes on a little bit of a run, and none of us touched NC State, unfortunately.
Nope.
Which, I mean, that would have been just a guaranteed win. Another one we both talked about was Duquesne. I can never say that name.
You got it.
I did say it correctly. I feel like I'm saying it wrong every time.
No, you got it.
I picked them in my bracket, but not in our game for some reason. Yeah, very frustrated with that.
Indeed.
And then, Vince, if you want to go through and talk about some of the other best moments of the tournament.
About that. I saw you had a second bullet point, and I realized that it was the same thing.
Yeah.
I want a quick touch on Aaron Rodgers. I just thought this was funny. MLB is a new – or not MLB. NFL's new system where if you're a player who plays a lot of snaps, does have a high salary, they give you a performance-based bonus. It's some sort of formula. It's kind of neat. I respect this meant for people like – I'm just thinking of a Packers example. Corey Ballantyne, who, you know, he's on a minimum deal but winds up getting – some extra dough because you played a lot of snaps. And so it's the higher your base salary is, the lower your additional bonus will be. So if you were someone who, say, I don't know, was a quarterback with a really high salary and got hurt at the start of week one, you would have a pretty low bonus. And, of course, it leads us to Aaron Rodgers, who had a bonus of $82. I almost feel like that they should have just – there has to be a cap on that because I think that – it's meant to be something good, but I think the embarrassment that Aaron Rodgers is getting is not worth $82, in his opinion.
Well, I don't think it's his fault that they're going to give him $82. Like, what? Go get yourself a nice meal. Like, how embarrassing. I mean, yeah, he has $1 million. Here's 82 more. Like, I don't think he's really sweating over that.
Yeah, I guess so. And plus, if you're in a position where it's bad that you got $82, I think you're doing pretty well. I would embarrass myself for $82.
I think the main reason people are giving this attention was because I think Schefter tweeted about it, which he was definitely just getting back at him for texting him, lose my number, and that whole saga. But I think it is very funny that he got the lowest bonus, but, I mean, that he didn't make the rules. It wasn't like an incentive in his contract. It was just a league policy. And A very funny outcome, nonetheless.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one. I got to talk about Stephon Diggs. Just got traded to the Bills for a second-round pick. Alex, what do you think of that move?
I like it for the Texans. I think they might be having the best offseason right now just from talent that they're bringing in before the draft. They had an excellent draft last year, so I trust them to take advantage of what they have this year. Their picks aren't as early, obviously, but I mean, the late rounds where you make your money in the NFL, so you got to take advantage of all those picks. And then the offense that they have is going to be one of the best in the league.
But what's so surprising about this is that, yeah, Diggs had a poor end of the season, but he's still a premier running back. So if you're giving him a second-round pick for him and also trading him to a, I'd argue, a legitimate rival in the Texans, you got to think that things were really bad behind the scenes in Buffalo.
And we've heard rumors about it all season, and especially in the offseason last year leading up of, I think he requested a trade, and it obviously was not going well between the two of them. I mean, Josh Allen, in the media's eyes and like the numbers-wise, is one of the best performing quarterbacks in the league, but not able to beat the Chiefs. So I don't know, maybe Stephon thought all the guys leaving from the defense this offseason, it was time, might as well let him go as well.
Yeah, I got to give Diggs a little bit of credit. I personally don't like his method of not being happy wherever he goes. But last time he left a team, it was like, okay, buddy, you didn't like Kirk Cousins, but now you got Josh Allen, who at the time was considered to be a bust. Maybe he's onto something here, because it looks like Stroud could be in for a really nice second year with Houston.
Where do you put them, like, in the like as a whole team? Where do you rank them in the AFC this year? Like, where do you expect them to finish?
Oh, that's tough. Because you got to go Chiefs ahead of them. You'd probably still go the Bills.
I don't know. Without Diggs, I feel like that was a lot of their offense. And then didn't they lose Gabe Davis as well?
So you're right.
They're pretty desperate for a wide receiver and some passing options. I mean, they do have Cook. But I don't know if they're planning on going with him in the run game, but I don't know about that.
It's surprising to be sure. So, yeah, I guess you're right. You could make the case that you still got to put Baltimore ahead of Houston, in my opinion. You could make the case they're number three right now if you had to make a power ranking in the AFC.
I think that's where I'd put them.
Yeah, it's going to be fun nonetheless. It's great that we talk about, like, you need to have an offensive coach, but DeMeco Ryans has been brilliant for Houston. I'm really excited to follow that team the rest of the way. Alex, they might have thought that we forgot, but we have not. Talk about bingo. We made the draft bingo card, and we have been locking in bingos left and right. And some of these are just like, we're going for the blackout right now. I think we have four bingos on here. My favorite one would be less talented player called locker room guy. That was definitely a check. Wide receiver flies up and then drops off. That was a case for Xavier, the guy who ran the 4.2 40-yard dash. And then I saw he mocked. He was a fourth-round guy. Then suddenly, boom, mocked to the Chiefs in the first round. They can't pass him up. Then back down third round. Marvin Harrison Jr., not the best wide receiver. Daniel Jeremiah said that. Packers fans demand Braylon Allen. That very much happened. Fast front, seven players to talk at the combine. Sure enough, there was an offensive lineman who ran like a 4.6. A 4.8, which blew everybody away. We just have so many here. I just almost feel like it'd be bad radio to talk about all these. I want to do one more. Unknown player claims he's the best in the class. We saw that with the receiver. Tall receiver can, quote, go up and get it. Saw someone say that about Marvin Harrison. Sean Payton likes pocket passer QB. Suddenly, they're the odds-on favorite to get Bo Nix. Caleb Williams has something related to character problems. Deion Sanders said that. And then Packer fans demand Braylon Allen. So I think by my count, we have six bingos on here. Our takeaway is the draft process is kind of cliche. The other takeaway is good on us and good idea by you, Alex. So there's no better way to prove it than with that bingo card.
I want to repeat it and see if we can get a full blackout just during the draft. What is it? Is it three nights?
Yes. We definitely will do that.
I wonder if we could get one per night or just one over the entire thing.
Oh, you're saying one blackout per night?
No, one bingo per night.
Okay, gotcha.
And then try and black the entire thing out.
Yeah. Well, even just the ones up here, like, because I don't have ESPN Plus, so I couldn't see the Mel Kiper stuff, but Mel Kiper says tremendous upside. That might as well be your free space because that's going to happen. I love the draft, though. But, yeah, it's a little bit cliche to it. A quick touch on Derrick Henry. Seems like a very good signing for the Ravens. But he said for a second time that it would have been really great if you went to the Cowboys. I mean, Alex, this kind of feels like if you get a job and then you keep telling people at the job, yeah, it would have been really cool if I got hired at that other place. It's like, what are you doing? I just don't understand his reasoning for doing that.
Well, I think he grew up watching like all the legendary Cowboys running backs. And, I mean, they have a very weak backfield as far as I know. They lost Tony Pollard this year, so I don't know who their starting running back is. Derrick Henry definitely would have helped out on that team. But I think Baltimore is probably the better situation for him. I don't know why he'd pick.
Yeah. I think he wants Dallas to be the lead back is what it is. He wants more carries, but I feel like he's going to have a really efficient season in Baltimore.
He seems like he's just a Cowboys fan. I think that's what it is. He just wants to play for his favorite team.
Like it's almost like Damian Lillard, where, look, he definitely was bummed out to be in Milwaukee. That's just a fact. He's kind of said, he talked about how like, he doesn't really do anything on this side. He's kind of like goes back and watches boxing highlights, I think was his exact terminology. But like, this is just him, Derrick Henry, outright saying that he didn't go the place he wanted to. It's confusing, but maybe do the Ravens play the Cowboys this year? I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm not good with the schedule.
Yeah, I can't remember that either, but it'd be a pretty funny slash cool revenge game if it happened. Awesome. I guess we'll dive into our next segment, which I'm very excited about as a baseball guy. And Alex, I got to applaud you. I know you're not the biggest baseball fan in the world, but you are braving the potential scorn from me. We did a segment earlier before the playoffs where we each gave hot takes of what we thought would happen in the playoffs. And then we graded how hot we thought the takes were on a scale of 1 to 5. And then the grade, if the bold prediction happened, they got the number of points that were assigned them. So you have a really crazy take, you get 5 points if it happens, or you can play it safe and try and just get 1 point, and then there you go. So
I think we might need like an independent auditor.
Yeah, it was a bummer we couldn't get a third person. I guess you and I can like quick talk. Maybe I'll talk to, I know some baseball people, so we can see what they say. But yeah, 5.
I don't trust myself to establish a fair grade for your stuff. The only problem is I kind of just... I'm embarrassed that I'm blanking on our top baseball analyst name right now.
Max Cappell.
Yes.
That was our craziest episode ever. That was when we had the Carolina Reaper.
Exactly. And then he just came in the next day and just did a normal show with us.
Yeah.
Just a stand-up guy.
Absolutely. I actually haven't seen him around this series. He's very busy this year, but it's a bummer because that was probably, by a ratings perspective, I know for a fact it was our best show. But from the perspective, I really like that baseball segment, though, and Max is my respect. Because he did not know who we were, and he just voluntarily was like, oh, I don't know who you are, but yeah, sure, I'll eat a Carolina Reaper. Maybe he's insane. But anyways, we'll dive right in. Do you have a preference if you go first or second here, Alex?
I'll go first just to start it off.
Awesome, let's do it.
I have a Brewers prediction that I want to get out of the way. I think they're going to lead the NL Central in the first week of May.
Ooh. That's pretty gutsy.
Pirates started out hot. They haven't lost yet, but I think the Brewers can jump ahead of them by the end of the month.
I'll give you a 3 on that one, mostly because, I mean, the Brewers, they did win the NL Central last year. They are known for hot starts. But this is, as I mentioned at the top of the show, it's not an incredibly talented roster, hot start aside. So I think 3 is fair. I'll definitely be pulling for that one. I'm trying to temper my expectations because I know the Brewers will break my heart. That's why I let off the show by saying, it doesn't matter. I don't care if they win or lose because I really do care. I got one for you. Marlins made the playoffs last year. It was a fantastic run for them, but they also were incredible in one-run games. That stuff doesn't usually carry over. Not only do I think the Marlins are going to be struggling, I think they're going to have the worst record in the NL at the end of this month. And I should say, our takes are going to be over the course of next month. So that way, you know, if the season ends, like, we're not going to grade these in, like, October.
I said they won't have more than 5 wins.
Oh, so we got to double down here.
Yeah, very similar. I didn't know how many games they had, so I didn't know how bold of a prediction that was. I assumed.
Well, I'll tell you
bold.
Right now, that's a 5.
Okay.
Because there's plenty of teams right now who already have 5 wins. So I almost feel like you got to knock mine to... Because that's a 5 right there.
I just looked who had the least amount of wins, and there was 2 teams with 0. I assumed the Mets would do a little bit better and then pick the Marlins.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's a 5. I guess, gosh, because my take's fairly bold. I feel like with the Rockies as such a terrible team, I feel like I got to give – but we'll obviously look at these recheck. I think in the meantime, mine would be probably a four. Yours, I almost give that a six because that'd almost be record-breaking. I don't know if we've ever had a team win five games in the first month.
If it's the similar, like if we're doing it on the same topic, the limit's five. I think mine would be five and yours would be a three on that.
Yeah.
Because like, five.
You've lowered it for everyone else. But yeah, that sounds fair enough. I'll jump to my next one. Houston, they have not started the year well at all. They're 0-4. But I think that by the end of the month, they will be, or actually Astros are 1-5. I think they'll be leading the American League West by the end of the month.
Wow. Just rally together against the owner. I don't know anything about their team, so we definitely need like an independent.
The Astros are really good.
Oh, I thought you said the A's.
Oh, that would be like, a 10 take. There is no chance that the A's are in first.
The Astros, that one I believe a little bit more. I feel like I want to go a 3 again on this one also just because I don't know, and I'm just trying to go.
Why don't you give me a 2 on that one?
A 2?
Yeah.
I think we just need to have someone check it at the end.
I think you're right.
All right, I have this one might be a 10. Shohei Ohtani gets a suspension for his involvement in this gambling.
I really like that one because it looks like by all purposes, I'm just saying, I know I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy. I like to make fun of you for your joke takes.
Well, I almost used that as my starting take. Ooh. I thought the steroids was
that was already out
more
there.
Of a joke, and then this one might actually be true, and I'm a little bit nervous about it.
Well, it sure feels like, just on everything that I've read, everything that's been reported, it was a little sketchy with the Dodgers changing their story. I think it was all happened so fast, and they kind of, like, goofed up in the process. But, I don't know, MLB is investigating it right now. I think we would find out if something happens, but you never know. Maybe they find something. I doubt they will, but I think that's still a 5 for you there.
I think part of the reason nobody knew, or I even Shohei said he didn't know anything until a couple of days before. I think that's a total lie. You definitely have to know for, what is it, like $4.5 million. There's no way
he's not get scammed all the time.
But he's not like Scrooge McDuck. He doesn't have just like a.
He just got a $700 million contract.
It's not.
Think about
like,
the endorsements he gets. He's doing New Balance.
The endorsements and stuff would be understandable, but I don't know how you just have that sitting somewhere that someone can just access, like $4.5 million.
Well, there's a lot of trust between a player and an interpreter because the interpreter, they don't just, you know, say what they're saying at press conferences. They really guide them through a major culture shock. So I saw that it's not rare for players to be trusting their interpreter with their finances. So, And plus this guy supposedly his best friend. I don't know. Well,
that's why I think he has some involvement. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that'd be definitely quite the storyline if it does happen. I don't think it will, but I guess that's what makes it such a bold take. So you understood the assignment there. I feel like I almost feel like that's a 5. If it was other players, it'd probably be a 4, but Shohei is just kind of – he's branded as, like, the chillest guy ever. So.
And they would do anything to cover this up, I feel like. It would be quite the blemish on the face of the league.
Yeah, MLB, like, oh, no, I dropped my papers in the fire. I guess we'll have to not abandon the report.
Well, I think this was, like, the first big, like, personal thing we found out about him. That and, like, the fact that he's getting engaged or got married or something. It was, like, nobody even knew he had a girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't blame him for wanting...
That privacy makes sense. Yeah,
I'm sketchy about... I don't want people to know what's going on in my
dating life.
Okay, I didn't even mean it like that. I meant it as in just like my personal life, but now I've already made it weird.
I think you have a very active dating life.
Oh, gosh.
You can leave it at that, Vince. That's all right.
I'll talk about my next bold prediction here. Tigers were really, really bad last year, but they're pretty solid right now, 4-0 to start the year. And I don't think this is a fluke. I don't think they're a playoff team, but I think they can get hot to start the year. American League Central is the weakest division, maybe not just in baseball, but sports. And I think the Tigers will be the shiniest turd when the month is over. I think they'll be leading the AL Central.
I still don't know how to rate that.
That's
though.
Fine. That,
like I have no awareness of any of these teams,
yeah.
Or the like relative of their division. So
we'll have someone else look at this because I feel bad grading myself. I'd maybe give that one a 3 or. I don't know. But
I feel like you would discount all of your ones a little bit just to be like unbiased, but also I'm
glad I tricked you into thinking I'm a nice guy, Alex. what's your final take here?
Uh, Is this my final one?
Is it?
I think this is four, right?
Oh, okay.
As a league, they're going to set a record number of home runs in the first month of the season.
Ooh. That
just a record number of home runs.
No, that's like a 20.
Yeah. I think it was like 1,144.
There's no chance, respectfully, because like there's actual science behind it. That's not like the nerdiest thing I could have said there. Is the MLB has changed the way the ball has been hit. And in 2019, they had juiced balls.
I think they're going to do it again this
year. You think
they're
going to do some secret adjustment? Well, I mean, I guess they actually did change the baseball without telling teams this year.
They juiced it.
That would be something else. From what I'm seeing, I mean, hey, Bryce Harper's had a 3-home-run game. Mike Trout is white hot to start the year. So who knows? But the baseball's been around for a long time. So if you're right on that one, you're something else. Let's jump to my fourth one. Another homer one. I think Freddy Peralta will be top 10 in strikeouts when the year ends. Great first start against the Mets. He was striking guys out like crazy. He looked great. Only allowed one hit, albeit it was a bomb. But one hit is one hit. Great performance to start out. I think that this will be the year he stays healthy and stays mentally available the entire length of the season. I don't know why I said mentally available. He had some ups and downs last year, and he had a start where Willy Adames got hit really bad on a foul ball, and he could tell he was like shaking back because that's like his best buddy. So, and that poor performance hurt his ERA quite a bit. I don't make it seem like he's unstable or anything. He's a really cool guy. 8 strikeouts his first game out, 6 innings pitched. I think he can, if he just stays healthy and does all his starts, I think he can climb that leaderboard.
I'm not even going to bother trying to give it a grade.
Fair enough.
Well, wait. My last one is, this is one of my favorites. There's going to be, I have to do like the number of benches themselves cleared? I think there will be like over 2 fights where the, meaning like both
like
teams.
Fight.
Like clear the benches in the first month of the season.
Well, clear benches? Because there's different levels to it. Where the Brewers and Mets, I mentioned that time.
That's what I'm talking about. Oh, well, just like the pushing and yelling type.
They didn't even push though. They just kind of yelled at each other.
I think that is all that it's baseball. It's not like, rarely do you have punches thrown, and most of the time it's only about fantasy football, I guess.
Can we put the stipulation that there has to be contact between players?
Yes.
Okay.
Yelling's not enough. There has to be at least a push.
All right, you're on. I like that.
But 2 scuffles.
That could happen.
Yes.
There's some rivalries brewing beneath the surface. I'm excited to see if that happens, because those are always... those are fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're take a page out of hockey's book, try and bring a couple of brawls to start the season.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're kind of like pushing brawls, not really any true contact, but I don't know. They're shoves can be thrown.
All you got to do is get a couple still images where someone's looking very intimidating and then just only post that, not the actual video of the fight.
Yep. This player is fed up. Yeah. Last one for me. I hate to buy into the hype of a team that has been known for choking in their recent history, but I think the Yankees are going to end the month as the team with the most wins.
Ooh. I don't know how to grade that, but I'm from what I a little bit know about baseball is them and the Dodgers are like the two most stacked teams in the league, so I feel like that has to be one of the lower hot takes, but I don't know how they've started out so far either.
5-1.
Okay.
Swept the Astros. And your final take, Alex?
I started.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my
this
last one.
This is why you shouldn't let me host. It's a complete train wreck on my part. And I guess you're ready for NBA power rankings then?
Yeah, do we have enough time to go through both divisions, or should we just
we could save it for another week. That way we can keep the material.
What else are we going to do for the last 10 minutes?
I meant, like, we're definitely doing it, but are you seeing if we should do East or West or both?
It's up to you.
I was going to say
the top teams overall.
Oh, I got you. Oh, yes, that's how we were going to do it. Yeah, so this is kind of meant to be an exercise to show that seeding in the NBA is it's not great. So with the first one, I feel like actually this could be a topic of conversation. Who you guys are number one team right now between both divisions or conferences?
It's 1A, 1B.
It really is.
Nuggets and then Celtics.
Yeah. Yeah. Just cause I have to choose, I put the Celtics at number one, but
I understand it.
Yeah. Cause like they're the best team right now, but it's just a matter of, do we think that can hold up in the playoffs? If I had to pick right now, my pick to win it all would be the Nuggets, but I just, you got to give credit to the amount of wins the Celtics have got. And plus, I think that the Celtics, we'd have a tougher time, the Bucks would, against the Celtics than the Nuggets, in my opinion. But yeah, the 1 and 2.
If you're doing teams you don't want the Bucks to play, Celtics would be number one for me. I would agree with that. But mm-hmm. I think the Nuggets would are the best team in the league right now. Even, the Celtics added a lot of players and got better, but I'm worried about them holding up over a playoff run. I don't know. Especially in a championship game, I think they're solid enough to get there, and I think their route is the easiest, so I would trust them to make the championship. But then if they've run up against Denver, I would take Denver over Boston.
Yeah, and with that, what team are you ranking at number 3 right now?
I think this is a little bit of like home favorite.
It's a massive drop, we can admit.
Yeah, but I have the Bucks right here.
Yeah, me too. It's not that I think the Bucks are doing great or even good, especially because they just lost to the Wizards last night.
And they're sitting everyone.
Yeah. But that's the big stipulation is that I'm getting addicted to the word stipulation today. The caveat, the asterisk, I'm not sure, but Doc Rivers is 14-14 with the Bucks. But it feels like every Bucks fan's agreed that Milwaukee just kind of looks better under him. So I think that it's one of those deals where they're just not taking the end of the season as seriously as they should. Will that bite them in the bud when they get into the actual playoffs? That's a legitimate conversation. But for right now, I'm still viewing the Bucks ahead of these other teams with a very big drop from the Celtics.
And then from the Bucks, I think all these other teams are very, very close. Not all of them, but especially the Thunder, who I had next, they're, I think, right behind the Bucks right now. The depth of that team, they don't exactly have like the seasoned veterans the Bucks have, but at the same time they have SGA, who has been around for a while, and a very good team around him. I think the weakest part is the center position and not getting a vet on their team for a playoff run, but they're still a dangerous team.
Yeah, I'm not spooked of the Thunder in the playoffs. I actually, for my next team, I got to give them credit. I have the Mavericks right now. They were kind of on the brink of like the play or the play-in, but they've won 8 of their last 10. Luka and Kyrie are clicking. You can tell that chemistry that looked like a disaster last year has been great. It's been mended, to say the least. Daniel Gafford has been. Did you hear about that record? He almost broke the NBA record for most consecutive shots made. He made like 25 or something in a row before finally missing. But he's been as efficient as they come and as selective. The Mavericks are a 5 seed, but they look scarier than the rest of the teams of the West, in my opinion, right now.
I had them as my 5th team.
Okay, so right behind me.
Yes.
Okay.
And they also, so the Thunder wasn't on my list of teams I wouldn't want the Bucks to play. I think Giannis would just dominate against these guys.
Me too.
The Mavericks were on my list because I would worry about Luka and Kyrie, like our perimeter defense against that, and just getting into a close game, going back and forth against, it might come down to who's more clutch and gets the last shot between Dame and Luka. If we get into one of those games, but then Dame also has to live up to that performance, I don't know if I trust him to go against prime Luka right now. So
me neither.
The Mavericks are definitely on my radar, but as far as the West goes, I think they're still a little bit below the Thunder.
Sounds good. Well, who's your 4th team here?
I have the Timberwolves behind the Mavericks.
Fair enough. Yeah, been an interesting stretch of games for them with the Karl Anthony Town injury. But hey,
they're better without
him.
They ironed out their center position. I think they would have been better without Rudy Gobert or without him, but they only needed one of those two guys. And I think it's better taking a cook out of the kitchen in this situation.
Wow. Well, better without Gobert, I think, is that one I'll push back on. I'll push back on both of them, but I really think you can make a strong argument that the Timberwolves should be looking to trade Karl Anthony Towns this offseason. But yeah, I understand it. I'm actually going to go with the Clippers next. They've had a poor stretch, but I just think that playoff Kawhi, we kind of keep forgetting just how brilliant he can be and how brilliant he was against the Suns before he suffered that injury. So things aren't looking super great for them, but I still believe in this squad over the alternatives.
I took them right behind the Timberwolves. I think the age of their superstars and the fact that, I mean, there is only one basketball, Kawhi is a very good defender, but then when you look at the rest of their kind of star players and the defense falls off a lot in the playoffs, that becomes a very important element for winning games and winning series. And I don't know, playoff Harden and playoff Kawhi and playoff P, or like all whatever they have, like they're all their nicknames, but they always seem to fall apart in the Western Conference Finals. So I think they make a run. It's not like they would lose right away in a playoff series. They're not a team I'd want to play in a first round series by any means, but they aren't quite as good as the other teams, I would say.
Yeah. Next up for me, this is where I get like another, I'd say, big drop. Because I'd say there's so many teams like packed in the middle here on the Western side. Like the seeding doesn't even, like the play-in teams in the West seem really captivating. I'd argue that the worst play-in team is the Kings, who are the 7 seed. Right now for my next one, though, I hate to even speak into existence, but the Lakers look pretty good. And I hate that I'm getting into this trap once again, but it seems very similar to last year with some that go on that late season run. LeBron, 9 of 10 from deep. He was fantastic against the Brooklyn Nets. That being said, everyone's fantastic against the Nets. But a nice little run from L.A. here. I think that they're finally getting right ahead of the playoffs.
See, I don't. So if you put L.A. against Brooklyn or Cleveland for an entire series, do you think that the Lakers win?
Well, Brooklyn and Cleveland?
Or not Brooklyn. The New York, the Knicks, and the Cavs.
Yes, I do.
You think the Lakers beat them in a 7-game series?
In my opinion, yes.
I could see it, but also, I mean, they do have strong young players. So, I don't know. That it's how much you believe in LeBron James, and I just don't believe in him at all. I would really love to just not watch him in the playoffs this year, but I understand where you're coming from. I did not have them on my list.
Ooh, okay.
I only went up through the top 10.
Yep. But
I had the this is more of just a I wouldn't want the Bucks to play them team, but the Heat.
Yes.
They're, I mean, I'm scared of them. I'm very scared of them.
Yeah, me too. They're my next team. They're starting to get it figured out, just like I said, with a lot of other teams. And that's the problem with the NBA, is the seeding doesn't matter. I'm sure the Bucks would much rather play. Like, the Magic are the 4 seed, and no one cares about them.
They're not anywhere on this list for me. I think this is a very good year for them, but it's a little bit too early. Like, I don't think they needed to be making a run for one of the top teams in the East this year.
Yeah.
I think just making the playoffs would have been fine, and then you see what you do. But, I mean, I think that's also because the East is also so weak this year, they're able to be up there.
Run out of time. What's the rest of your list here?
Then I had the Cavs and the Knicks at the end of my list.
Okay.
Jalen Brunson is amazing. And then Donovan Mitchell, the Knicks above the Cavs, because I don't trust Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs as much, but both solid teams.
I have the Thunder and then the Suns at the end. I just don't believe in the Timberwolves. They seem kind of like a goofy team. But here's my takeaway here. Is yours seems kind of fair. Here's the seeds. 1-1, 2-3-2, 4-7-3-4. All right, that's there's something there. And my list, this wasn't on purpose, I promise, but I have 1-1-2-5-4-9-7-3-8. I don't even have one of the 2 seeds on there, but my take here is that the seeding just does not matter, and you're not rewarding the teams as much as you should. But just how it rolls. That will have to do it for the show. Always great to be here. Great to be back in Madison. We'll be back next week. Listen after further review of Vincent Hesbrick here with Alex Schuster. Have a great rest of your day.